So let us go ahead and pray. Father, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, that we are in our fourth session of this Fearless Living series. I thank you that you have called us to live with you and not with fear. So, Father, I pray that you would open the eyes, our spiritual eyes, to see you tonight. And that, Lord, you would give us understanding, living understanding of your word in Psalm 27. That you would transform our thoughts, transform our emotions, transform, Lord, the way we live, the way we act. And Father, we ask right now for the anointing of your Holy Spirit on each person listening, so that we can move out of the place of fear that have held so many people captive and can live in the place, Father, that you have given to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, in that place of peace and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight's session is entitled Living with God, Not Fear. And it's my hope that in this session that you'll be able to engage your heart as well as your mouth in what is being said tonight, and that you can encounter the Lord as you listen and as you speak the word of God from Psalm 27. So I'm going to begin by giving you an overview, but each one of you have been given 2 3-by-5 cards. On 1 3-by-5 card, I want you to write down, if you don't have that, you can ask Sylvia in the back there. Just go ahead to each person, make sure they have them, okay? But on one card, I want you to write down, what is the fear or the fear-provoking situation that you are facing? You can write down one or two things. And then on the other card, I want you to write down the word. What does the word say about who God is? What does the word of God say of how you're to respond to the fear, the fear-provoking situation? And if you don't know right now, that's fine, because this is what our lesson is about tonight. So you can actually jot down on that card as we speak tonight some things on that second card for you. So throughout this session, I want you to listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about how you're to treat your fears and the fear-provoking situation that you're facing according to the Word of God in Psalm 27. I want you to especially listen to the declarations and actions of faith in the midst of the fear-provoking situations. And then join in as we begin to pray and declare Psalm 27 over our lives. Declaring God's word, putting his word in our mouths, is one of the most powerful things that you can do. Job 22:28 says this, "You will also declare a thing, and it shall be established for you." So light can shine in your ways. Can you believe that we can put the word of God in our mouth and have that thing established in our life? So that God's light will shine in our ways? What does it mean to have God's light shine in our ways? It means that we can get God's perspective about our situation, that we can start seeing things as God sees things. And also, I believe when his light shines upon our way, the light of God disperses darkness. It'll disperse the fear and the fear-provoking thoughts that we have, the fear-provoking emotions that we have, and it'll actually start the light of God disperse the darkness of the circumstance itself as we sit there and we partner with the Holy Spirit in our situation. I love Isaiah 55:11, talking about putting the word of God in our mouth, the power of it. It says this, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God's word is to prosper in our mouth. You know, it's so easy in a session like this to put the Word of God in our mouth, and that's what we're going to be doing tonight, putting the Word of God into our mouth. But how about as you walk out of this room or into your normal life, will that Word of God stay fastened to your lips? 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, it talks about bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought is to come in agreement with God's word. If our thoughts are in agreement with God's word, guess what? Our mouth will start being in agreement with God's word. And then we'll have that light shining upon our ways, seeing as God sees, and then the darkness in our life will be dispersed. And at the very end, we're going to come for what I call the great exchange of the cross. You have two 3x5 cards. You're going to give God your fear-provoking situation. And then as you walk through the cross, you're going to hold on to what the Word of God says about who God is and what the Word of God says concerning the situation that you are facing that has provoked fear in your life. And you're going to hold on to that and then confess that word with your mouth throughout the week. We're going to take a look, even though this is our fourth session, we have not talked about how Psalm 27 is divided. So there's a structure, a way that it's been divided structurally, but then I saw a different way that it could be divided, and I call this the functional division. That's how Sue saw how it could be divided. And that's the chart that you have at the very last page of the handout you've been given. And that's what we'll be mainly focused on. But we're going to start with the structural divisions. And Psalm 27 is divided into three parts. And so if you actually look at Psalm 27, I have a break between Psalm 27, the first part is praising God. That's verses 1 through 6, and you see a little break there. And then 7 through 12 is the petitions of Psalm 27, and then you see another break. And then the last part is what I call an exhortation of faith and hope in God, verses 13 and 14. So let's just look at the first section, verses 1 through 6, praising God. You know, that's the first thing that you and I are called to do when we are faced with a fear-provoking situation. But it's not automatic. And it wasn't automatic for David either. But this is what he first did in Psalm 27 when he encountered some very, very, very fearful situations. He began to basically, when David started to praise God, you see this cross here, and there was, you know, Jesus wasn't there during the time that David, you know, lived on planet Earth. But basically, David, when he started to praise God, it would be like me, you know, living this down here, representing the world in which we live. And when he started to praise God, what happened is David then started going into another world, the world of God, heaven, so to speak, the kingdom of God. And as believers, we get to live in the kingdom of God through the power of the cross, through this represents here, this red, the blood of Jesus Christ. We get to live in this reality. We get to live in this reality, the awareness of who God is and what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, even though we're out in the world here, this reality over here of who God is has to be greater in our thinking, greater in our heart, and just greater in our emotions than what we're facing out here in this world. We can't allow anything in this world to get bigger than our awareness of the presence of God upon our lives, in our lives, and the awareness of what Jesus Christ has already victoriously accomplished for each one of us through the cross. Is that an amen? Amen. Okay, so David, here he is, his primary desire in life. We talked about this a lot last session, in session number 3. was Psalm 27:4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek. What's the one thing? Father God, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I might, what? Dwell in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life. You guys get to dwell in the presence of the Lord every moment of every day, throughout your life and for all eternity. You get to dwell in the reality of who Jesus Christ is for you. That is like so awesome and over the top. You know, God says this to David, and he says it to each one of you and I in verse 8 of Psalm 27. He says, seek my face. You know what David responded? He says, Lord, when you said seek my face, I said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Acts 2, 25 through 26 says this. David actually says, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, and therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad, and moreover my flesh will also rest in hope. So David's saying, it doesn't say this in Psalm 27, but we learn in Acts 2, 25 through 26, is God said in Psalm 27, seek my face, and David says, I'm always going to be seeking your face. In fact, I'm always going to put your face before me. In other words, I'm going to always live with the reality, the awareness of who you are, God. I'm not going to forget it. And because of that, I'm going to praise you. And nothing is going to get bigger than who you are in my life. So, how many of you would like to have a heart that rejoices and a tongue that is glad? How many of you would like your flesh to rest in hope? That's a supernatural hope that's in God, in Jesus Christ. How many of you? Then you need to do what David did. You need to go ahead and allow no fear-provoking situation, nothing to get bigger than your awareness of God and always seeing the Lord before your face. Sounds easy, right? No. Okay. Now, being able to do this will allow you to live the life that God always intended for you, a life that is filled with His presence and a life that is filled with the victory of the cross. It's not automatic. Your flesh will actually resist doing this because it's not accustomed to praising God. But your spirit man, where God dwells, the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in bodily form inside of your spirit man needs to start talking to your flesh, to your soul. This is what we studied in Psalm 103, right? David spoke to his soul, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hey, mind, bless the Lord. Will, bless the Lord. Emotions, bless the Lord. To bless, remember that? To come into thankful agreement with who God is. And because we come into thankful agreement, we're going to start praising God and thanking Him. Now, that's the first part of the structural division of Psalm 27, verses 1 through 6, is talking about praising God. The next section is about petitions, verses 7 through 12. As David stands in God's presence, praising Him, he then starts talking to God heart to heart, sharing with God the concerns of his day, his concerns of what's going on in this world around him. He says, you know, there's an army encamped around me. There's war breaking out against me. People are wanting to eat up my flesh. People are wanting to destroy my name. And he's talking to God about this in verses 7 through 12. He's saying, hey, God, have mercy upon me. Answer me. But before he enters in to this, all these petitions, he starts with one petition. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek. I'm asking you, Lord, that I can just dwell in your house. to dwell in your presence all the days of my life, to behold your beauty and to inquire in your temple. If you begin with this one petition in your heart, when you get in God's presence after praising him, then all these other things, Matthew 6:33 says, will be added onto you. Seek ye first the king and his kingdom. I'm adding the king. And all these things shall be added to you. So begin with verse 7. Well, actually, it's actually 4, the one thing. But put that, if you look at the chart that I have on the petitions, just take a look at your the functional divisions. You'll see at the very top is one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek. Okay, do you see that above the petition column, the third column? Okay, so if you begin with that petition, as you enter into your request, then all these other things will be added on to you. All the other requests are just part and parcel of who you are in Christ. They're going to be added to you. And if you start looking at the petitions there that I have listed in the third column, you're going, wow, he's asking for mercy. He's asking God to answer him, not forsake him, you know, and God's going to hear him. And we're going to be going on and making declarations regarding that. But once again, we need to understand that when we come to God, we actually need, and you're going to be doing this at the end, where you wrote down your fear and the fear-provoking situation. You actually need, and this is what we're going to do, we have a bucket here, hand over the situation to God. So I'm thinking, like, what example, you know, and immediately the Holy Spirit pops into my head when I go to a shoe repairman, which I haven't done for a while. But say that my shoe was broken, okay? I take my broken shoe to the repairman here in town. And when I take it there, I tell him what's wrong with it. And this guy, he's fixed thousands upon thousands of broken shoes, right? And he's like, just give me the shoe. You don't have to tell me what's going on, you know. Just give it to you. I'll fix it for you. And so he's reaching out his hand to take my shoe. And I'm sitting there holding it, explaining it to him. And his hand's outreached to me. And I'm still like, I don't know if he got really what I was saying about my shoe, how broken it was. I mean, he just thinks this is an easy fix, but, you know, I don't know if he can do everything that's required, you know? And so I'm holding on to my shoe, and I start re-explaining to him everything that I think needs to be fixed about my shoe. And the guy's probably thinking, like, what's this lady doing? I mean, like, where's she coming from, you know? Why doesn't she just give me her shoe? Well, this is how it is, I believe, in prayer so often. We have an area that's broken in our life. And God says, just give me that brokenness. Give me that fear-provoking situation. Give me the fear. And you're going to be given an opportunity. We need to hand it over to the Lord and put it in his shop, his heavenly court, his kingdom, and let him work on it. And that goes into our last part of the structural divisions, and that's waiting on God. Waiting on God, having faith and hope in the process of God making this situation right, is so crucial for you to see the kingdom of God being brought into your circumstances and into your life. For God's kingdom coming and his will being done. For heaven meeting earth. Amen? So we need to hand it over to God. So often, once we hand it over, for some reason we want to take it back. And once we hand it over to him, we really need to enter back into then thanksgiving and praise. Thanking him, you know, when we think about that situation, instead of telling him how broken the shoe is, he already has it. He knows what to do. He knows how to fix it. We'd say, thank you, Lord, that you're taking care of the situation. And you told me that you don't want me to be troubled about anything. So I'm just leaving it in your hands, and I'm moving on now. Okay? Okay, so now let's go to the third division, verses 13 and 14, exhortation of faith and hope in God. Psalm 27, 13 and 14. I would have lost heart unless I had believed I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So, if we want to see God's goodness in land of the living, we need to, what? Believe that we'll see it. This is exactly what Jesus says to his disciples when he talks about mountain-moving faith. Jesus begins with Mark 11, 22, and he says, have faith in God. Jesus is saying this. Have faith in God. And then at the very end, he says, when you pray, believe that you have received, right? Believe that you have received. That's the same thing as believe that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the living. We first receive it in the spirit realm. You know, we've handed over the shoe and we're believing we received. It's happening in the spirit realm. It's already been given to us. Your healing's already been given to you. Your peace has already been given to you. You have it in the spirit realm. But now we are staying in faith and hope to pull it from the spirit realm and into the natural realm. What does it mean? Wait on the Lord. So I looked up the word wait, and it comes from a Hebrew word, kavah, Q-A-V-A-H. And it actually means to look with eager anticipation or expectation. And so that's just another word for hope, right? And I've shared this with you before, the acronym for hope, H-O-P-E. Hold on to the promise eternally. Okay? Hope. So while the Lord has your situation, you need to keep holding fast. Hebrews 10:23, it says, hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So it's not like, say that this is, you know, you're waiting for your shoe to get fixed. It's not like you give it and then back and forth. You're wavering back and forth. Is he doing it or isn't he? Is he doing it or isn't he? No, you hold fast your confession of hope that what he has spoken, he will do. So he says, by his stripes you were healed. So if you're asking God for healing, you're going, I thank you, Lord. I've given you the situation. Once you've told him what your request was, I thank you. Now I'm just going to start praising you as Jehovah Rapha, as my healer. And we stay in that place of faith. Now, David was probably in his 40s when he wrote Psalm 27. This means that he has gone through some of his low times where he was not standing in a place of hope and waiting on the Lord. So he knows what he's talking about now in verses 13 and 14 about believing that you're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. Because when you don't do that, you end up doing some crazy things like David ended up doing in some of his low points of his life. Now, we began this year with what I call Courageous Living Series. Fearless Living, what we're studying right now, the fourth session, is part of the series. And it began, I started talking about Joshua 1, where the Lord commands Joshua three times, be strong and be courageous. Well, this is how verse 14 or Psalm 27 ends, right? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Three times Joshua is told, he has this tremendous, you're going to bring all the Israelites into the promised land, and the Lord tells him three times, Joshua, look at me. Be strong. Be of good courage. And I want to tell you this, the way that you get strength and courage, meditate on my word day and night. Keep it in your heart and keep it in your mouth. And then you're going to be able to do it. You're going to have, you'll be able to have good success. You'll be able to prosper in everything that I've sent for you to do. And so here we are, Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Okay, let's go to the declaration at the end of this structural division. Do you guys all see it where it says declare? I believe that I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. So you're going to put in the blank your own fear-provoking situation. So let's all stand up and declare this out loud. And if you're online, you can declare this also. Just take your fear-provoking situation and declare it with us. So we're going to say it together. I declare that I will see, I believe that I'll see the goodness of the Lord in, and then put your situation in there. Say it out loud, soft enough so you can hear it. The fear-provoking situation. Instead of losing heart, becoming discouraged, anxious, and filled with fear, I am choosing to place my faith in the God of my salvation. Soul, I'm telling you to wait on the Lord, eagerly expecting his word of, and this is your other card. What are you waiting on the Lord to do? What's his name? To be manifested in the land of the living in my life. Thank you, Lord, for renewing my strength so that I can fulfill all of your will for my life. Okay, thank you. Be seated. Now we're going to look at the functional divisions, and I want you to turn to that functional division chart, and you can just see that there's three columns here. At the top of the chart, I called it thinking, feeling, and living with God. So in order to think, feel, and live with God in his kingdom, rather than thinking and feeling and living like the world around you wants you to think, feel, and live, and like your flesh is trying to tell you, and like Satan's trying to tell you. Okay, look at column one. We praise God. These are all the ways, the names that are directly spoken to us, how David praised God, or that are implied by his statements. So I just listed them: light, salvation, strength, defender, protector, deliverer, helper, caretaker, and he is good. And then the second column goes into how is David's response? And you can personalize this. How is your response to who God is? If you really believe who God is, what will you say and what will you not say? What are you committing yourself to in your heart before something arises? And then the final column is the request. These are David's requests, and you can use his in your own personal prayer time or come up with your own. Okay. And you can see right above where I say praise, it says God's face or Jesus' face, column number one, David's response to Jesus' face, and then the request he's making before God's face. So that's what I came up with as far as dividing Psalm 27 up. Okay. Before we began, we declared Psalm 27, and I invite you to do this on your own. When you declare Psalm 27 out loud by yourself, mix your words with faith. Hebrews 4:2 says this, the word they heard did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. So whatever we hear, we want to join, connect to it, have faith in what we are saying. And then consider what the Holy Spirit is personally speaking to you about your situation. Now, the Psalm 27, the structural pattern that we are talking about, and where you begin with praise and then you go into petitions. The Lord was reminding me as I was writing this, this is just like the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. How are we going to hallow his name? We declare his name. We make his name big. We magnify his name by putting it in our mouth. So we're going to take now, and then your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So stand up, and we're going to pray or declare Psalm 27 in the fashion of our Lord's Prayer. So just say it all together with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are good. You are my light, my salvation and my strength, my defender, my protector, my deliverer, the lifter of my head and my caretaker. I joyfully sing praises to your holy name. As I do this, I invite your kingdom of love to come into my heart and to cast out every fear regarding, and then fill in your situation. I know that it is not your will that my heart be troubled or afraid, because Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, lives in me and I in him. Thank you for giving me a new identity in Jesus Christ so that I can live with you in peace and not in fear. Go ahead and be seated. What would happen in our healing rooms if when people come in and they have requests on their heart, we begin with praise? Think about it, you guys. Okay, petitions. The Our Father prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I skipped over the forgiveness part because it's not listed necessarily here in Psalm 27. So once again, I gave you that example. We actually have to hand the situation over to God. And there's a lot of handing over in this last column on your chart. Handing your situation over to God. If you take a look at verse 12 in Psalm 27, it says this: do not deliver me to the will of my adversary. Lead me not into temptation. Jesus says in a similar way in John 17, 15, he says this: I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, that inferior reality that I was speaking about, but that you should keep them from the evil one. How are you kept from the evil one? The best way is by getting into God's presence. That's in your secret place, you and God. But then when you get out of your secret place and you go out into the world, you carry that awareness of God's presence into your situations. Amen? You see how that works? Okay? So, let's go ahead and stand up and pray now, according to the Lord's Prayer, this next section of the Lord's Prayer. Today, give me fresh bread from heaven. Help me to make you, God, my top priority. Strengthen me by the power of the Spirit, so Jesus Christ and his words of life will richly dwell in me by faith. Deliver me from the will of my adversaries who have come against me to steal, kill, and destroy my identity in you. Thank you for hearing and answering my prayers regarding whatever situation you came with tonight, and for never leaving me or forsaking me. Go ahead and be seated. Then we enter into Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an important part of peace rather than fear ruling over your heart and mind. We know that from Philippians 4, 6 through 7, be anxious for what? Nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then as you do that, don't leave out the Thanksgiving part, the peace of God then will come and you're allowing it to rule over your heart and mind, okay? I love Psalm 69:3. It says this: I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. So when you start thanking God, oh Lord, you've given him your situation, then you're just thanking him that he's taking care of it. I just thank you and I just praise you that you are taking care of the situation. You're magnifying his name. You're blessing him. Okay, now we're going to go to column one. This is Roman numeral two. It says God's face. Column number one on your chart. We're talking about God's face is Jesus' face because Jesus perfectly exemplified who God was as he walked around here on planet Earth, okay? And if you look at everything in column one as David praised the name of God or God's face, you will see me. That's because David had a personal relationship with God. Psalm 27 is talking about a reality of a real person having a real relationship with a real God. And you can put yourself into that situation as you personalize the Word of God for your own life. Okay. So you can take a look at that column and say, gosh, in my situation, I need God as my protector. Well, then start thanking Him and praising Him as your protector. Or you look at this column and you find out, and we're going to do this with verse 10, okay, where it says, the Lord will take care of me. I put down He's our caretaker. So let's all stand up, okay? And we're going to declare Psalm 27, verse 10, in different fashions. We're going to begin to say it just like it is, and then we're going to declare it to God, and then allow God to declare it to us, and then we're going to visualize it happening in our life, in our situation. Okay. Ready? The Lord will take care of me. God is the most excellent caretaker I could ever have. Now we're talking to God. Lord, you told me to cast all my care upon you because you care for me. Right now, I give to you, God, all my fears and worries concerning, and whatever it is, say it, because I know you will take excellent care of me and all that concerns me. Now, here, God talked to you. Okay, put your name in there. Sue, I will take care of you in fill in your situation. And if you're a guy, my son, gal, my daughter, I want you to walk by faith in my faithfulness and not by your natural sight. And then sanctified visualization. See with your spiritual eyesight the end, the victory from the beginning, from where you're at right now. Picture what God's goodness looks like in the land of the living for you. Okay? Amen. Be seated. Is that good? You can do that with every one of these in column one, every one of God's name, okay? That was just an example. Why is it important for you to declare God's name, His face, when a fear-provoking situation is staring you in the face? Because you are not going to allow anything to get bigger than your awareness of God. So as long as you keep who God is and His word in your mouth and in your thought processes and in your heart, then nothing will get bigger than that. Okay. Jesus is my light. You can do this very similar thing that we just did with verse 10, but I wanted to just show you that David specifically began his psalm by saying, the Lord is my light. Okay? So when the light of God comes into our situation, His presence, He is the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Darkness has to flee. So when David says in verse 1, the Lord is my light, or you put that in your mouth, the Lord is my light, guess what has to happen? In the spirit realm, when you declare God's name, you just flipped on the spiritual switch. The light came into your situation. What has to happen to darkness? It has to flee. When I turn a light switch on, when these lights come on and that was the only light in the room, darkness had to flee. If it's true in the physical realm, how much truer is it in the spirit realm? When we put the name of God in our mouth, then the opposing force will have to flee. Every one of God's name has an opposing force. If you're looking for God as a healer, the opposing force is sickness. And every one of these opposing forces to God's name originates from one source and one source only. I put it in black here, This represents the kingdom of Satan, and the one that rules it is Satan. The opposite is the light of the world. This is represented by this white cloth here. There's two opposing forces in this world. If you can allow fear to prevail in your emotions and to prevail in your thoughts, you have just allowed a dictator, the evil dictator, to rule and reign in your life. You've given him authority. But you can say no to that, and you can say yes to allowing the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to rule over your heart and mind. How do you do that? Declare God's name, begin to thank and praise him, and as you thank and praise him, his presence comes as you speak. The word of God is the very spirit and life of Jesus himself. So as you speak the word, the very spirit and life of Jesus will manifest in your situation and in and over your heart, your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, and God will start transforming your emotions. You don't have to think, I got to transform my emotions. Yeah, you want to partner with joy. It takes more faith to partner with joy than it does to partner with fear. It takes more faith to partner with peace than it does with anxiety. Yes, you can partner with that. But God himself will come and help you transform your emotions so you can actually live in this reality of peace and joy. Amen? The kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy. What? In the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit makes it possible. Okay, let's stand up right before Roman numeral 3, and we're going to declare this. I once lived and walked in darkness. That's this over here. And the fears of the world, of this world. But now I am one who lives with God in Jesus Christ. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the light of my life. You have given me a fresh perspective and have even dismantled the works of darkness that have come against me. Be seated. Roman numeral 3. David chose his response to God. That's the center column of this chart you have. I will. And we've gone over this many times, but just declare with me from the very top to the bottom what it says in column 2 of that functional division chart. Okay? I will not fear or be afraid. My heart, I can't hear you guys. My heart shall not fear. I will be confident. Your face, Lord, I will seek. I will offer sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. I will believe in that God's goodness will be manifested. I will wait on the Lord. I will be of good courage. So you can say these things here, but it's so important that when you leave here, and when the fear comes knocking at the door of your heart and knocking at your life, that you don't allow the flesh to come out, but rather the very spirit of the living God to come out and to display his peace and his joy in your life. Okay. Romans 8:31 says this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of God? So, Psalm 27:1 begins. It says, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? There's a real person behind the fear, and that is, I told you, Satan himself. So when you understand who the originator of fear is, then you can ardently desire to partner with God and say, no, I'm turning my back to his face, and I'm going to turn and I'm going to seek his face, and I'm going to do like David says, like in Acts 2:25 through 26, I'm going to set the face of the Lord always before my face. Therefore, my heart's not going to be shaken. My flesh, my tongue's going to be glad. My heart's going to rejoice. And my flesh, it's going to rest, oh, in the hope of God. I'm going to rest. The promised land is a place of rest. The kingdom of God is a place of rest. The presence of God is a place of rest. So if you find yourself going, you got to get into a place where you can experience God's presence in the best way, he says in Psalm 100, as we studied, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. How many, don't answer me, don't raise your hand. How many actually do that? It's not automatic because your spirit's not used to ruling over your flesh. But the more that you start praising God on a regular basis, then that's going to become your automatic response. Putting the name of God in your mouth rather than the name that Satan wants you to partner with that's out to destroy your life. You can read scenario 1, 2, and 3, you know, about the things that David faced, you know, why he was so determined to say, hey, I'm going to partner with God and not with fear. But time. There's a reality in the kingdom of God. It's the unseen realm. And so often when we're down in this world, down here, we're using our natural vision, our natural hearing, and then we're succumbing and bowing down our knee to the circumstances of fear. As soon as you succumb to fear in the fear-provoking situations, you have begun the worship of a different God. When you realize that, you're going to go, God, help me to dwell in your presence. And he goes, well, I've given you a tool. Start praising me. Start worshiping me. Because when you start praising and worshiping me, my presence will come. My strength, my power will come. And then you'll be able to turn your back on the thing that you've been bowing to rather than bowing your knee in worship of me. Very, very eye-opening, Psalm 27. If we went over the request of God, which is the last column on your sheet, why don't we all stand up? We're going to declare the last declaration on your handout. And then you're going to be given an opportunity to hand over your fear-provoking situation to God. You've got two cards in your hand. You'll be tearing them up, putting them in the bucket. Then you can walk through the cross, take communion. Then whatever name of God or word of God you're going to hold on to, you're going to hold on to that and continue to confess it. Like Hebrews 10:23 says, hold fast your confession of faith. Hope, hold on to the promise eternally. You're going to wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. So let's say the last declaration. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the great privilege of abiding in Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing and answering my prayers, showing your great mercy and loving kindness to me. Thank you for never leaving me or forsaking me, so I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. Thank you for teaching me your ways and leading me in a smooth path and deliver me from the evil one. So I'm going to have everybody, that means everybody, have an opportunity. I'm going to put the cross down here. And you're going to have an opportunity to go ahead and to say, you know what? I'm handing over for God to fix my problem, my situation that's causing me so much fear in my life. You can tear it up, put it in the bucket. Then you can allow the blood of Jesus, this is representing the blood of Jesus, to wash over your thoughts, to wash over you. And on the other side of the cross is communion. If you have trouble writing down on the other card what you're believing God for in your situation or who he wants, desires to be for you, Your prayer partners tonight, if you're receiving prayer, can help you fill that out. So you have something to hold on to with your mouth and in your heart this week. Amen. So I'll just close with a word of prayer, and then Wes will play as people come forward. So Father, I just thank you and I praise you for your word tonight. It's a powerful word on Psalm 27. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would strengthen everybody by the very power of your spirit in the inner man, so that your son, Jesus Christ, the word of God, would richly dwell in our hearts through faith. And that you would, Father, allow us to partner with you, the God of hope, so that we can have all peace and joy in believing who you are and what you have said. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming.